Good morning. My name is Michael Cole. I'm not a preacher. You're going to figure that out real quick. I'm one of the elders. I'm one of 11 elders that we have here. I've been an elder since 2000. That's 23 years ago. I've worked with a lot of godly men. If you're a current elder here, would you please stand up for just a minute? Well, I didn't need an applause. Don't sit down just yet. Hang on a sec. If you've ever served as an elder in this congregation and you're capable of doing so, I know as you get older it's a problem. Would you please stand as well for me? Okay, thanks. You guys can sit down. And I'll explain to you in just a little bit why I asked them to do that. You need to know who these men are. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." There's a passage. Let's not go to that yet. Let me talk about this survey that we're going to do in starting next Sunday. You're going to try to read all those words, and if I talk while you're trying to read those, you're going to not hear what I say. So I'm going to read it out loud, and you can follow along or ignore me. Thank you for taking the time to complete the. This is the first page of this survey, by the way. It even shows at the bottom. 0% survey completion. And I've looked at all the questions, and I'll briefly comment on that in just a little bit. Thank you for taking the time to complete the church health assessment for West Ark Church of Christ. The results of the survey will assist your congregation in understanding how members perceive the various aspects of congregational life. The survey will take between 5 to 10 minutes to complete, and the questions asked for your honest evaluation across a variety of topics related to congregational life at this particular point in time. When answering questions, please try to answer how you feel right now rather than reflecting back over your longer experience in this congregation. I don't like it saying your congregation. This is the Lord's church, not mine. There are no right or wrong responses, only your personal perception. Your responses are confidential and secure. If you have any questions regarding your participation in the church health assessment, please contact the leaders in your congregation. Thank you. This is not just for the elders' benefit. This is for the benefit of those who are leaders currently in this church, the elders particularly, the ministers, and even other people that consider themselves in some leadership position. This survey we are expecting is going to be helpful in many ways, and I'll talk about that a little more as we go further. In Ezekiel 34, there's a passage, and I'm going to read more than just those two verses that Chris put on this slide. In Ezekiel 34, there's a passage that all of us that are elders and have served as elders take very seriously. While the passage is specifically about just leaders in Israel, we take it very personally as the shepherds or elders in this church that we fulfill what God intended for us to do. And this is sort of a warning to those guys that had forgotten what their responsibility is. And I'm going to read from the first verse through verse 15 of Ezekiel chapter 34. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed their flock? You eat the fat, wear the wool, and butcher the fatted animals, but you do not tend the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bandaged the injured, brought back the strays, or sought the lost. Instead, you have ruled them with violence and cruelty. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd. They became food for all the wild animals when they were scattered. My flock went astray on all the mountains and every high hill. They were scattered over the whole face of the earth, and there was no one searching or seeking for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, the declaration of the Lord God, because my flock has become prey and food for every wild animal, since they lack a shepherd, for my shepherds do not search for my flock, and because the shepherds feed themselves rather than my flock, therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says. Look, I am against the shepherds. I will demand my flock from them and prevent them from shepherding the flock. The shepherds will no longer feed themselves, for I will rescue my flock from their mouths so that they will not be food for them. For this is what the Lord God says, see, I myself will search for my flock and look for them, as a shepherd looks for his sheep on the day he is among his scattered flock, so I will look for my flock. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the peoples, gather them from the countries, and bring them into their own land. I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will tend them with good pasture, and their grazing place will be on Israel's lofty mountains. There they will lie down in a good grazing place. They will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will tend my flock and let them lie down. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the strays, bandage the injured, and strengthen the weak. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will shepherd them with justice. God is telling these guys that, hey, if you can't do this, I'm going to do it. And in John 10, Jesus kind of gives us the news that that's what is happening with his coming to the earth. And I'm going to read that in just a little bit. When I became an elder, and maybe some of the other guys had this same idea in their head, when I became an elder, I was determined I was going to know the name of everybody here. It didn't take me long before I figured out I just can't do it. And now I'm to the point, after COVID-19, there's so many new people here, I'll never succeed in doing this. And if I know your name, at my age, I may have forgotten your name. So don't think that I don't know you just because I can't think of what your name is. People that I've known a long, long time, I have to stop and think about it for a little while before I can think of what their name is. That's not the way it is with God and Jesus, and I'm going to read about that in John 10 in just a minute. Nevertheless, even though I don't know everybody's name, all you guys are precious to me. And everybody that's an elder here now would say the same thing. You are all precious. The guys who have served as an elder in the past recognize you as being precious as well. You can come to any of us at any time. We will pray for you. We will treat you with respect, or do our best to treat you with respect. Forgive us when we don't. And try to let you know that you're an important person in God's flock. And in the 23 years that I've served as an elder here, I've worked with a lot of godly men, godly, righteous elders. And this congregation has been very blessed to have a group of men who truly seek to do God's will and put this church ahead of their own needs many times. To add to that attempt that we do, and most of you probably don't even know this, every Sunday morning at 8:45, the elders come together here early before y'all are here, and we pray together. We don't come together for a business meeting or anything like that. We come together to pray for this congregation, that we'll do the right thing, that God will be honored by what happens here, that everyone who comes here will be blessed by the service, if you want to come and pray with us for that purpose, you're welcome to. We've never said it was a meeting that no one else is welcome to. Okay, let me go to John chapter 10 and tell you about the good shepherd, okay? The shepherd that all of us that are elders here look to as the one who's really in authority, the one who we're really trying to serve, recognize him as the perfect shepherd. And here's what he says in John 10. I'm going to read through. Let me skip ahead here. This slide is about the beginning of that chapter, which I'm going to skip over because it doesn't tell you where I'm at. I'm in John 10, and I'm going to read more than the first five verses. I didn't put these slides together, so just bear with me. It starts out, Jesus saying, "I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." When he calls them by name, okay, he remembers everybody's name. He knows you by name, which is really encouraging, I think. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. That means he's the leader. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, "I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired man and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." It's incredible to me how much Jesus cares for us, how much he knows each one of us, how he knows your name better than I'm ever going to learn your name, and knows everything there is to know about you. What we're trying to do with this survey, and that starts next Sunday, going to go on for a couple of weeks, and then we'll get a report. It's going to help us to understand where this church is presently and where we could be heading. We're looking for the strengths of this congregation. It's going to show us where we're doing well, not just what the elders think we're doing well, but at the congregation as a whole, what do y'all think we're doing well? And it'll also give us a sense of what can we do better. It says you can go to westark.org and learn more about the church health assessment. And that's true. And I went there and thought, well, it's really hard to find, but it's right across the top. It says church health assessment. If you click on the one that says learn more information, it'll take you to a screen that I'm going to read what's on that screen. It says, although other site as well, it'll tell you who put this together, why they put it together, and how it's been proven to help be helpful. They've done this in many, many churches of Christ, so we're not just being compared to ourselves, we're being compared to other churches, and all of this is going to be eventually transparent to everybody. We're not keeping anything a secret. When you go and take this little survey, it's totally anonymous, so we're not going to know who said what, okay? And we need every single person that is part of this church to participate in this. Okay, and what it says on there is, although other similar tools exist for congregational assessment, this is the only tool available today that is tested for reliability and specifically designed for churches of Christ. It takes the guesswork out of measuring congregational attitudes and perspectives. The church health assessment measures the following nine key factors. And here's those nine things. Before I read those nine. Let me tell you, this is like doing an opinion survey at the end of a meal. If you've done some of those, it says you strongly agree, you strongly disagree, and everything in between. There's five choices for each one. A few of the questions are in the negative, so you can't just say you highly agree with everything, because sometimes you're agreeing with something that you don't really agree with. So keep that in mind as you're taking it. Anyway, here's the nine things that we're going to be learning from this. Vision, mission, and goals, ministry and activity effectiveness. That's number two. Number three, family life stages. Number four, spiritual formation and discipleship. Number five, worship. That means whether if you're getting what you want out of worship here. Number six, congregational culture, communication, and conflict. Number seven, leadership. Number eight, church relationships. Number nine, finance and facilities. And then the last sentence on that screen says, the instrument gathers numerical ratings and open-ended comments from participants and summarizes member involvement and demographics. So that's what the survey is all about, and I hope it gives you a pretty good understanding of what we're doing, and I hope why we're doing it and why we think this will be helpful to the congregation. On after we take the survey, the people who put all the information together and give us a report, there'll be somebody here standing in this pulpit on Sunday afterwards telling us what all that meant. So it'll be beneficial to all of you. You'll see what we're good at, what we need to do better, and you have my permission and the rest of the elders too, whether if they knew I'm going to say this or not. You have our permission to hold us accountable to what this church needs. We pray every Sunday that we're doing the right thing and the Holy Spirit is directing us. And your participation in encouraging us and in praying for us, we really appreciate that. And we ask that you not stop doing that.
Well, good morning, church family. Michael lets you in on our secret while we wear these name tags so that we'll know each other's names. And I won't forget Michael's name, and he won't forget mine. I've always appreciated the Apostle Peter. He's always straightforward. He's transparent. He didn't talk in riddles. He always knew what was on his mind, and he always knew how to express himself. Now, sometimes he spoke out of turn, like at the Transfiguration. Sometimes he spoke with great humility. When Jesus called him to be a fisher of men, he said, "Depart from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man." Basically, Jesus, I don't deserve to be around you. Sometimes he spoke in hurtful words. "I don't know the man." Then the rooster crowed. But you never had to wonder what the Apostle Peter was saying. In 1 Peter, that's a letter that Peter wrote to Christians who had been scattered because of persecution. And there is a message. There's a message, even though the words are ancient, there's a message for all of us today. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I, too, am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I, too, will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Don't lord it over people, the people they were assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor." You know, when we experience big events in our culture, in our society, in our lives, it affects us. It affects even members of the church body. To deny that our brothers and sisters are not affected by the events around them is to be naive at best. Big events affect all of us. And it affects us as individuals, and it affects the church because those individuals are what make up the church. You know, my grandparents were greatly affected by the Depression. They lost their money in the local bank. That's back before there was federal insurance of money in the bank. So it was gone. And my grandfather never really trusted banks again after that. He would carry around a lot of cash, kept a lot of cash hidden in his house. He would forget where he hid it, but he would hide cash in his house because he didn't trust the banks because he'd lost everything. World War II affected so many in and outside of the church. This was a little before my time, but the missile crisis and the threat of nuclear war, and I was speaking to someone who went through school at that time, and they said they had drills where you had to get under your desks, and there were fallout shelters everywhere. And he said it affected me because I was scared to death that the world could end at any time because of nuclear war. You had social unrest and so many things going on in our country in the 60s and 70s in the Vietnam era. About 9/11. September 11 affected all of us. Affected all of us in some way. Now fast forward. It's Wednesday night, March 18th, 2020. 6 p.m., the elders have assembled here at the building. We're having a meeting. We've been hearing for a couple of months about this virus that had been spreading rapidly throughout the world and throughout the U.S. And we tried to figure out, you know, what is this going to mean to us as a body? We tried to get as much information as we could get. We talked to all the health professionals we could, those that are members of this church. But we finally realized that there was much we didn't know or even could know. But we did resolve to a few things. Number one, we were going to stay out of the politics of it. We'd not be anxious about it. God is in control. It's His creation. He'll take care of things, and we'll submit to Him. We said we would encourage everyone to take care of each other. Check on each other. Help each other if needed. We recognized that this was going to affect everybody. Some more than others, but everybody, every member of our church family would be affected. Some physically, some emotionally, some financially, as they faced layoffs or job cuts. But we knew everyone would be affected. And finally, have a plan going forward. COVID, in some form or fashion, would eventually end. It may come back from time, but this particular instance, this particular crisis, it would end. And where would we go from there? We need to help our church family stand firm, however he or she may have been affected. As Michael pointed out, next Sunday we'll begin this survey. And I know, you know, you can't call anybody to get any help anymore for anything when you hear the dreaded words, "Would you be willing to take a brief survey?" Well, let me ask you, would you be willing to take a brief survey? There will be links. There will be all kinds of ways to do this. We'll even have hard copies if you want to do the old-fashioned way with a number 2 pencil and drop it in a Dropbox back there. We'll have that available if you're like Michael Cole and you don't have the ability to click on links and things like that. No, I'm the non-technical one, so I'll be the one probably doing it by hand. And at some point, I need to talk to you teachers. Why is it a number 2 pencil? Is it the lead size? Why is it a number 3 or a number 5 or a number 7? It's always a number 2. If you use something other than a number 2 on a Scantron, you're disqualified somehow. I don't know. But we will have paper and pencil available if you want to do this the old-fashioned way. We want everyone to participate. No one's going to know who said what. No one's going to know how you answered. But we just want you to be honest. We want to know how we're doing. This is not about, there's not going to be questions on there. Do you like the songs that we sing? Or do you want to sing this song or less of this? That's not what this is about. This is about our spiritual health as a body and as individuals. We want to assist those who need us. We want to know how to help with our daily walk with God. A lot of the things that we do, a lot of the facilities and ministries come from our members. Feedback from you. That's what we need. I remember many years ago, we were approached by several younger members, shall we say. And they said, well, we want to participate in giving. We'd love to participate in giving, but we don't carry cash. I don't have a checkbook. I don't write checks. I don't have any way to give. So that's why we have electronic giving now, because that came from their input, saying, if you have some way that I can give, we would love to participate. All types of ministries have sprung up because of feedback, because of listening to you. And that's what this process is designed to help with. Not only how are we doing as a church, but what can we do better? What do we need to do better? How can we assist you? We want to do this because we're having to navigate an ever-increasing, perilous world. It's a world that's very complicated and getting more so every day. It's a world that is difficult, and it's a world that is challenging, especially if you want to hold yourself up as a Christian. We want you to be able to stand firm. You know, it's been 3 years, over 3 years, since that Wednesday night meeting I referred to. So what is our current spiritual health? How has that affected us going forward? What can we do better? Well, why are we doing this? The Apostle Peter, again, can answer that more eloquently than I ever could. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out. For your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So, church family, we love you, we respect you, and we want to hear from you. Lord, I need